Yeah, isn't that great? I think if you're a part of one of those teams, let's have everybody come up here. Now, let's have join me, all the teams that went out this summer. I think there's like 60-some people. Give them a big round of applause. This is a fun thing. Yeah, gather on the stairs there. Yeah. Come on. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Right here on the steps. Everybody on the stairs. Now, it's fun for you guys to all see each other again and to recognize how big a team this was that went out. But my guess is that in this room, well, you guys aren't the only ones who have been away on some sort of God-oriented trip sometime. So let's do this. If you've ever left your comfort zone and gone someplace, not on vacation, but gone someplace to do kingdom work. I mean, you're going to go someplace and spend a weekend or a week or a couple of weeks and be out there sort of mixing it up in spaces way beyond here. Would you stand up? It'd be fun to see how many of us have actually had a chance to go away and do something like that. Would you please stand? Look at this. This is going to be fun. Yeah. That's very, very cool. Very cool. Okay, guys, why don't you have a seat? I'm going to ask Lisa if she'd stay here for just a second. You know, a lot of people went away this summer, and we're going to try to catch up with some of the things that they saw happen. So I'm going to start with Lisa Kirkpatrick. And where did you go?
I had the opportunity to go to Honduras, to a small island called Roatan, which is off the mainland of Honduras. It's a beautiful little island. It's only about 41 miles long, and it has pristine beaches and beautiful coral reefs, and it's just a lovely place.
So tell us, this is a children's home. Tell us how many kids are there and what kind of stuff you did.
Well, we had the opportunity to work with Brad and Debbie Warren. They're Americans who 6 years ago were called to Honduras to open an orphanage. And in that 6 years, they have developed an orphanage that houses, right now it's 17 children. They, besides opening the orphanage, they've been able to do a lot of outreach to the community. They coordinate missions groups to come in and work with the people of the island. And they've opened a medical center and a dental suite. They have the only x-ray equipment on the island. Huh. They have a worship center that they're building, and they're building staff housing so that their staff can have acceptable places to live. So their mission has gone out into the community besides just taking care of the orphans. Wow.
And God's right in the middle of this. This isn't just an orphanage. I mean, it's a Christian
Yes, they have given their life to Christ. They sold everything that they own and moved to the island. And God is just so obviously an extreme part of what they're doing. They've submitted themselves to God's authority, and the love that they have for those children is just amazing.
And this was a unique experience for you and your family. Tell us about that.
Well, our family had never been on a missions trip before, and our entire family went. And it was a really good experience for us as a family because we spent a lot of quality time together, and we were, as a family, we were able to work on a project together. You know how usually it is, you take the boy and the husband takes the girl or vice versa, and you go and satisfy the requirement of the day. But for 2 weeks, we got to work together as a team, and it was just incredible for us as a family. I think that we're a lot closer now, and we understand each other much better.
Wow. And you're kids are excited about it. I mean, they had a good time.
They had a great time.
That's a wonderful thing to think about as a family. What will you take away? I mean, obviously, this was 2 weeks that you'll probably always remember. What sticks in your mind?
When I thought about preparing for that question, I thought of many things that I would never forget. But the one thing that I wanted to share with you was the eyes of the children. You're seeing pictures of the children now. But before I went on this trip, I went on the internet and I read the horrific stories of the history of these children. Four of the children witnessed their father murder their mother and their home be burned to the ground. Little Virginia is 5 years old, and she was living with her cocaine-addicted, prostituting mother. She was taken from her mother when she was being beaten in the face with a broomstick. The other child I wanted to talk about has, Jeffrey, baby Jeffrey. How could I forget him? He was left in a shoebox when he was 7 months old and was considered dead. He was covered with scabies and had bugs crawling out of him, and he was just in terrible condition. So given that information, when I went to Honduras, I had a preconceived idea of these maladjusted little children that would have dull, lifeless eyes. Look at those eyes. He's great. When I got there, I found out how completely wrong my preconception was. The children were just full of life and smiles, and they would greet you every day with hugs and kisses. They were obviously secure and loved and energetic. Come play with me, read me stories. They were just the most wonderful kids in the world. And I found myself thinking, how is this possible, you know, that these kids would be so well adjusted? I almost kept waiting for the real kids to come out, that these couldn't possibly be the bad kids. And as time went on, I came to grips with the fact that Franklin, the 18-year-old boy, had witnessed his father murder his mother, but he was this handsome, articulate, well-mannered, obviously secure young man who thanked me profusely for taking him to the beach and got up every day and washed the dishes without even being told. And baby Jeffrey was covered with bugs just 5 months ago, but today he was this strapping, chubby-cheeked little boy who was taking his first steps and drooling and just so adorable. The best contrast that I found was Virginia. Virginia had just 4 months ago been out on the streets with prostitution and abuse, but when we were there, she was running up to Miss Debbie, "Miss Debbie, Miss Debbie, please let me say grace tonight, please." And when she said grace, it was, "Oh dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Oh, thank you for Miss Debbie being such a good mother for me." It was so heartfelt. And when I looked into their eyes and saw the smiles and the security, I knew that I was looking into the eyes of Jesus, that Jesus was just such a part of this orphanage that the impossible was made possible only because Debbie and Brad had submitted to God's authority. Wow. And called and followed the call that he had placed for them. It was just the most amazing experience for all of us, I think.
Thanks for telling your story and for being a part of this team. Give Lisa a hand, will you please? We're going to go all the way on the other side of the world to Cameroon, and I want Leslie Brett Schneider and Nicole. There you guys are. Come on up here. Nicole Lindner. Come on, ladies. Give them a big hand so they're not quite so afraid. This is, Nicole, I'll let you sit on this chair here, and I'll sit over here. This is kind of a scary experience to come up here in front of all you guys. So tell us, most of us probably couldn't even find Cameroon on a map, so tell us a little bit about where you went and what kinds of things you did.
Well, we went to Cameroon, which is on the west coast of Africa, across from Brazil, and we met up with the Nens, who are a missionary family that are supported by Grace. It's Gilles and Wendy and their three kids, Gabby, Sam, and Josh. And they are in Yaoundé, which is a city of 1.5 million people, although it feels a little bit smaller because they're all in one spot. And they are trying to kickstart a youth ministry in Yaoundé because there isn't currently one existing. So we went and we ran a youth camp 3 hours away at a beach in Cameroon, and we kind of talked about authenticating faith and trusting God and what that really means.
Wow. So you guys are teens or just almost out of your teens, and you were with teenagers the whole week, Nicole, is that right? And
That's
you took
right.
them to the ocean, which was what kind of experience for them?
It was really amazing for us. Most of us have lived by the ocean our whole life, and you go to the ocean, it's just something that you do. And then they live probably about like three hours from the ocean, and most of them were in their late teens and hadn't even seen the ocean before. Huh. They were afraid to even let the water touch them, and it was really cool just to go in before them and show them that it was okay. And I know that some members of our team, like definitely like Greg and Ariel, were teaching them how to swim, and we were being lifeguards, and it was really cool just to watch them have their first experience in the water. It was amazing.
That wasn't your only water experience, right, Nicole? What else did you guys do in the water?
We took a little boat ride in some dugout canoes.
How long?
It's 2.5 hours upstream.
And where were you going?
We were going to a pygmy village. So it was basically back in the forest, in a thick area of the forest. We rode upstream for 2 hours in a boat like that, just sitting on a wood plank. And those two girls next to me, I got to know them really well. It was a really cool experience.
Had the pygmies ever seen white people before?
I think they had. Yeah, I think that they had before. They knew a little bit about about the Bible. Like Tony got to share with them a little bit. Huh. It seemed like he knew about the Bible, but that it was only for like higher beings, huh, not for wow them and stuff like that.
Leslie, what will you always take away from this trip? I'm going to ask both of you this question.
I think one of the things that I will definitely take away, something that I've never really experienced up to this point, is just how universal the gospel is. Just to go to a culture that is so different. I went into it with no expectations because I had absolutely no idea what to expect, and I was just totally blown away. I mean, it is just unlike anything that I've ever experienced in my life to be in Africa. And we can still share our gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with someone that lives across the Atlantic Ocean, that speaks a different language, that looks a lot different than I do. And I think that's just incredible. The missionary that we stayed with, Gilles, is from Switzerland. Wendy, his wife, is from Richmond. And here we are, suburbanites from Colombia, and we're in Africa, and we're sharing this gospel, and it's touching lives. And you know, the people in Africa are sharing things with us, the way they worship, the way they pray. It's just incredible, and we all understand it. It's just so universal. It's just incredible.
Wow. How about you, Nicole?
Well, aside from that experience that I had with the pygmies, to see them living the way they did, like just to see the world, that the world is much further than these houses and that we live in, and the highways that we drive on, and you know, the city is so much different there than our city, and just to see that people live in the world like differently than we do, and live on much less in most cases, just to see that they still had this love and this desire to learn. They wanted to learn about our culture, and we wanted to learn about their culture, and just to go to the whole other side of the world, and just see that people are thriving there, and just to see people who also are so in love with Jesus, and just to know that the gospel is being shared in other places, and just to see how people can be so much similar and so much not similar to how we are, so similar and so different to how we are, is just absolutely amazing, and it's an experience I'll never forget.
Yeah. And your team, probably. You guys are probably tighter than you ever imagined you could be. Thanks for telling us a little bit about Cameroon. That's great. Give them a round of applause, please. Leave this one. All right, we have one more. You feel like you're on a tour trip here? We have one more country we want you to see something about. Jen Long, would you come up and tell us a little bit about Uganda? Make her feel welcome, you guys. This is Jennifer Long, and she went to Uganda. Tell us about your life here, though, because, I mean, some of these folks are in college or whatever.
My life here?
Yeah.
I'm a stay-at-home mom with 3 kids, 2 of them in school.
So this was escape? This was a way to get...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's definitely a fun deal. So tell us Uganda. I mean, there'll be some pictures here. We know a little bit about Uganda, but tell us a little more about who you guys connected with.
We connected with an organization called AOET and Action for Empowerment. Used to be called AIDS Orphan Education Trust. But basically, they take care of moms, widows, give them medication. They are all positive for HIV. And the kids, they help take care of their children. They get sponsors to help pay for school fees, to help pay for medicine, and just basically food and clothing.
Wow. Now, this is a crowd we know something about. We sent some folks to Uganda last year, right?
Yes.
Same place.
Mm-hmm.
And then how many of you here when the orphans from Uganda sang for us as a part of our worship service? Remember that? When was that? May? March? Something like that? And that's the same crowd, right?
Yes.
So, and just, can you tell us a little bit about AIDS in Africa? I mean, I don't want you to...
Everyone in Africa has been hit by the AIDS epidemic. Mm-hmm. Either they know someone that has died, or mostly it's their parent, or it's their uncle, or it's their cousin, or sometimes it's both parents have been affected or have passed away from this.
So these kids are orphans, not because somebody couldn't take care of them, but because somebody died and
yes.
just left them.
Yeah, wow. Most of the time when we would interview children, they were staying with a grandmother or an aunt or even just a guardian.
Wow. So you saw kids who were orphans because of AIDS, but you saw people with AIDS too.
Yes.
I mean, can you tell us about both?
We were able to go on some of the mobile clinics with AOET, which meant, you know, driving 2.5 hours into a remote village. And, you know, it was just amazing when we would get there, there'd be like over 100 people waiting for us for the doctor. And he would make a clinic, you know, a table and chairs and sit under a tree. And would see these patients, and then our job was to fill the prescriptions that he would write. And it was just really, you know, sad to see these moms waiting for, you know, half a day before we would get there, and knowing that that's their only medicine that they would get for themselves or for their children.
Wow, wow. And the actual orphanage itself, what was that like?
Well, we went to the school that's the kids singing the first day we got there. They put on a show for us, but... we went to the school and would do interviews for the kids that are sponsored and you know, to send letters back here, which was really interesting for me through sponsoring a kid, not through AAT, but just to see the other side of that.
Mm-hmm.
But they all had the same stories. They either live with their aunt or grandmother, 5 or 6 siblings in a house that we would consider the size of our bathrooms here, probably. And, you know, most of them didn't have electricity, so.
And you used the word sponsored a couple of times. Help us understand that concept. What's a sponsor?
It's Compassion International does it, but AOET has it set up that you can, if you're interested, sponsoring a child. They give you a specific child. They'll send you a profile, information about that child, and it's $30 a month. And what that pays for is for school fees, mainly because most of the parents can't afford school fees. Also medicine if they need it, shoes, because, you know, half the kids we interviewed didn't have shoes or the shoes were too small for their feet. So, I mean, the $30 goes a long way because it not only helps that child, but then it helps the whole family because that's one less child that they have to worry about. Seeing the kids, and $30 just goes so far over there. $30 here is like eating out once, but there it just, you know, a month of food and a month of schooling. Otherwise, you know, they can't go to school.
Wow.
So,
what will you take away from this?
Well, I mean, God worked in my life just, to be more bold, because I would have never sat in front of church before and talked, but just to be more bold and more confident in what God wants me to do for my life. But obviously the children, our shirts are Mzungu. Whenever we would run out, whenever we would go outside our gate, children would come running, Mzungu, Mzungu, which is white person. and they would yell, you know, when we were traveling or wherever, Mzungu, bye. And I'm not quite sure they understood what that meant because they were like waving hello, but it was just very cute. And just that, I mean, they're just so happy, the children, and that's probably what struck me the most, is these people have nothing. They have absolutely nothing, no toys, no medicine when they need it. But they are so happy, and they're so happy to receive help, and they're so happy to learn about God.
We're glad you got to go.
Yes.
Very fun. Give Jenna a round of applause, will you please? Thanks. So there's seven teams, about 60 people got to go, and most of you are sitting here saying it's a great story, but I'm not sure it really touches me where I am. And as I thought about that and wondered what would be a good takeaway for all of us this morning to think about in light of this very significant summer, and you only heard four or five stories, I mean, every person on this team could probably tell you something that happened for them, to them, around them that they will never forget. And in fact, if I'll just make a little plug here, we're going to interview some folks in the second service, and they're going to be different people. So if you want to get the full story, come back again. What occurred to me is the connection that we have between these folks. Now, some of you are parents. You can look on the screen right now, and you can say, there's my child, so you're connected. Or in Jen's case, you know, her husband stayed home with three kids so she could go. So there's a connection sometimes because you know somebody or are related to them, but there's a bigger connection. And if you have a Bible, I just want to spend a couple of minutes driving this point home, because I don't want us to miss how this touches us as a congregation when this kind of thing happens. You know, the Apostle Paul traveled all over the known world when he was alive. And he had a trade. He could make tents. He worked with canvas. He had this ability to generate some income. But he ended up in prison a lot, and then there were times when he was just so busy teaching and helping people that he couldn't make enough money to live. And so you may or may not be aware that in the New Testament, there are stories of how churches came together and they contributed money so the Apostle Paul could do what he did. Now, don't miss this. These are folks who live in towns like Philippi or Thessalonica or someplace, and they can't go do what Paul does. But they can fund what Paul does. And because they believe so much in what he's doing and the kingdom work that he's involved in, that's what they do. They fund what he's about. In Philippians chapter 4, you get a glance into this sort of dynamic. I just want you to see it. Some people have called the book of Philippians a thank you letter. It looks like on three occasions, the people who lived in this little town called Philippi sent money to Paul, once when he's in prison, a couple of times when he was traveling, and this is the thank you letter. Now, the book of Philippians has got lots of other information in it, but this is sort of at its core. Here's what he says. It was good of you to share in my troubles. Therefore, as you know, Philippians, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I was sent out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. In other words, there was this reciprocity. You gave, I received. God was in the whole thing. You played this part, I played that part. He said, no other church jumped in like you Philippians did, which is a fun thing to think about. But then this great line at the end of this little passage. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. And then notice this, not that I was looking for the gift. Now, let's face it, folks, if you don't have food to eat, you don't have a place to stay, wouldn't you be looking for the gift? That's what I'd be looking for, the gift. He says, not that I was looking for the gift, but I was looking what might be credited to your account. Now, I don't completely understand this, but we got to talk about this for just a second. This means that when you and I choose to allow the resources that are at our disposal to flow away from us into kingdom activity that we never get to participate in. You never get to hold an orphan. You never get to take a teenager to a beach. You never get to do those kinds of things. When the money flows from you to people who are doing that, there's some sort of divine certified public accountant in heaven who is keeping track and crediting all the good that comes from that kingdom work to you. I have no idea how God does all that. How he can keep track of the $25 you sent and the $100 you sent and the $4,000 you sent. I have no idea how God can do all that. But this passage clearly says, Paul said, look, folks, what you sent helped me. No denying that. But the thing that blesses me more than anything else is that you are putting aside in an account something God is going to greatly reward you for. You're connected deeper than you could imagine because you're funding this project. Now, I don't know what the total number is. For 60 people to go out of our church this summer probably cost $50,000 or something like that. And some of that probably came from family members and friends that are outside of this, but I would guess the lion's share of it came right here. And most of you thought, oh, I'm just sending a check so that, you know, Jessica can go off here, or Billy can go off over there, or Ben can go over here. Folks, that is not what happened. Every significant person that was touched in Uganda and in Philadelphia and in the Cameroon and in D.C., every one of those people's lives that was touched, you touched if you were a piece of this team because you gave. I'm about decided I don't like the word giving anymore. Because giving sounds so empty. It sounds like I got rid of it. I just gave it and it will never be seen again. If I understand Philippians 4:17, giving is the wrong word. It ought to be investing. It ought to be crediting. It ought to be, I'm going to see this again. I'm going to step through pearly gates, or whatever your vision of heaven is. I'm going to step through those gates, and I'm going to be handed a ledger book. It will have nothing to do with my ability to be in heaven. That's all settled by Christ. But it will have a lot to do with how God views me as faithful with what he's given me. Not because I gave it, but because I invested it, because I teamed up with somebody who could go when I couldn't go. Rolling Stone magazine, let me finish with this. Rolling Stone magazine asked Brad Pitt not too long ago. You're probably wondering, Rolling Stone magazine and Brad Pitt in the same church service? This is when he was sort of at the zenith of his career. Maybe some of you think he's still there. About who he was and what he'd attained, he said this. I know all these things are supposed to mean something important to me. The car, the condo, our version of success. But if that's the case, then why is the general feeling out there reflecting more isolation and desperation and loneliness? If you ask me, I say toss all this. We got to find something else. Because all I know is that at this point in time, we're heading for a dead end, a numbing of the soul, a complete atrophy of the spiritual being, and I don't want that. Brad Pitt? So here's what Rolling Stone said. So if we're heading towards this kind of existential dead end in society, what do you think should happen? I don't have those answers yet, said Brad Pitt. The emphasis now is on success and personal gain. I'm sitting in it, and I'm telling you, this is not it. I'm the guy who's got everything, I know, but I'm telling you, once you've got everything, then you're just left with yourself. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, it doesn't help you sleep any better, and you don't wake up feeling any better because of it. But what if you did what the Apostle Paul talked about? What if you attached it to an account that someday would really, really mean something? My sense is you'd sleep a lot better and wake up feeling a whole lot different about life. This is the message I want you to remember about what happened this summer. Is that this is a great kingdom enterprise that all of us play a different piece in, and do not minimize the piece that we played by sending these teams out. Now, just a couple of words from our sponsor. For the first summer in a long time, I think we came up a little short in terms of all the teams that went out. I don't know, I think we're several thousand dollars short of what it cost to send them. Just a word to those of you who are cursed with, you know, afflicted with more than you know what to do with. That's just a message for you. I am told also that if you want more information about sponsoring one of these orphans, that they'll be in the lobby today out there, and you can ask some questions about the Uganda group, about maybe how you could get connected with one of those orphans. Now what I'd like you to do is stand. I'm going to close in prayer, and then I'm going to ask the team to come back while I'm praying, and we're going to sing one final song, and we'll be finished. Father, what a great news it is to hear about all that you're doing in the world. We are very, very excited about the life that you are changing every place. from the sort of the rural hillsides of Pennsylvania to the streets of D.C. and L.A. and all the way around the world to Uganda and the Cameroon. Lord, thanks for our chance to play a piece in that. And we do look forward, Lord, someday to the accounts as they're reckoned in heaven to see the impact that our few dollars made. We offer all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. Triumphs of